A few yahrzeits coming up this week. Some very great tzaddikim, many great tzaddikim, but we can only focus on one. Tonight we'll actually focus on two. So, we can begin with the Ishbitzer. Zchus Yagen Aleinu's yahrzeit is Zayin Teves. Tonight is, what's tonight? Hey? Hey Teves. So we know that Rav Mordechai Yosef from Ishbitz is the founder, so to speak, of the Derech of Ishbitz. At first, he was a Talmud of Simcha Bonu from Shischa, and a Chaver of the Kotzker. And as is well known, that after the Ptira of Simcha Bonu from Shischa, he became a Talmud of the Kotzker, when the Kotzker set up his Chassidus, first in Tomashov and then in Kotzk. And they were both old friends from the city of Tamashov, the Kotzker and the Ishbitzer. And the Kotzker, at one point, over the course of his Rabbanis, as Admar, he secluded himself for like 20 years. And he came out, never ever left his room, with the exception of different times, and only a few people were able to come in to see him. But he was manig a chassidus behind closed doors. And this really was something which the Ishbitzer was not fond of, to speak lightly about it, and he felt that wasn't right. And he moved to Ishbitz and he set up his own court. And he was rabbi there for 13 years until he passed away. As is well known, the two very great gedolim, tzaddikim, admirim, who followed the Ishbitzer was Reb Leib Leiger and also Reb Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin, the Talmidim Mufakim of the Ishbitzer. Of course, in the Sefer, there's only a few stories. I believe that, like, the Ishbitzer is one of the tzaddikim. You can go online to Rav Weinberger's library of shiurim and listen to the life of the Ishbitzer more in depth, like many tzaddikim which we spoke about. In terms of the godless of the Ishbitzer and the esteem which Rav Tzadok HaKohen held him, you see, understand the story of Tzadok HaKohen himself is an encyclopedia. He was an encyclopedia, and at once at an asifa rabbanim, so he quoted a certain mimer and he said it in the name of a gemara, but it was asifa sarabbanim and they knew a little bit about learning, so he challenged Rav Tzadok and he says, it doesn't say anywhere in a gemara that way, not brought down that way. So he says, you're right, it's not in the name of the Gemara. It's the name of my Rabbi, the Ishbitzer, but I swear to you that if he lived in the times of the Tanaim and Amorim, he would be in the Gemara. That's what he said. In terms of the Kedusha, he was once traveling with the Rav Simcha Bonim, and they stopped off and they stayed in a room, in a place where didn't require mezuzah either because of the type of a place which it was or who it was owned by. And the Simcha Bonim didn't want to sleep there without there being a mezuzah. So what was the Eitzah? He told the Ishbitzer to stand where the mezuzah should be. And he held that the Ishbitzer had a din mezuzah because of his kedusha. He can pass as a mezuzah. And he listened. He stood there the whole night by the doorpost. So they can have an inyan that not to sleep in a room where there's no mezuzah. There's such a thing like that. So he found the mezuzah. It's the following story that once there was a certain alter yid from the Chassidim of Ishbitz that his child became sick and the doctors gave up hope on the child. And then he had heard that the Maggid from Trisk, the Trisker Maggid, was in town. And he was going to take his child to go to the Trisker Maggid for a bracha. And so, like, was the case by many tzaddikim, when they would be poil yeshuas, they had to take a pigeon first. For example, you couldn't see Rav Tzvi Hirsch from Imanov being paid unless you paid like a sach gadol of money. And the Maggid from Chisk said, in this case, I don't know if he always took Pajinus, but he said, if you give me 18, whatever it's called, Reich, I don't know how to pronounce it, which was quite a sum of money, so then I'll be Poyal Yeshua for you. The man was not wealthy, didn't have the money on him. So he left. And he came back home, and his wife knew where he had gone, and she started screaming at him. She said, how could you not find a way to come up with the money to save your child's life? So, although it was a far distance, he said that he would have to travel to Ishbitz. He wasn't live in Ishbitz, although he was a chazchad at Ishbitz, and to tell the Rebbe about the machla from his son, and what happened with the Maggid from Trisk, and how he was so upset about it. So when he came to the Ishbitz said, it's okay, I'll take care of it. If you give me 18 grosh, which was not a lot of money, so then I'll take care of your child for you, which wouldn't be a big pigeon. So he saw that the chassid was confused, like, why does this one need a lot? This one said a little, so the Ishbitz said the following thing. We can learn from the Torah Daisha that from all the kelim in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan, they were all made of zav, of gold, the shulchan, the aron, the menorah, but the trumpets, the chatzotzos, they were made of kesef, which is lower quality, it's made of silver. Why is that? So the Ishbitzer explained, because the chatzotzos were used in a time of tzara. But the Torah says, al hatzar hatzayir eschem, if there's a war, if you're being waged war against, so then you blow the chatzotzos. And he says, be'ez tzara, in a time of tzara, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying that you don't need to give me zav, because I'm going to be mishtatif in your tzara. Put away the zahav and only come with kasef. So that it shouldn't be, that a yid shouldn't have to put out so much in a time of tzara. So he says, I learned from here that at a shas hatchak, when a yid is in a shas hatchak, the tzaddik has to be mishtatif in another Jew's tzara in a way that he doesn't have the same expectations as he would have at that other time. He was a very weak person by nature. And part of the disagreement which we have with the Kutzker is that he felt that the Chassidus and the access to the Rebbe should be very free-coming, very open. And he was very mustered to the Chassidim, not, of course, to say that the Kutzker wasn't. It was just a different derech. And at all times, the door was open and people were allowed to come in to see him with any needs which they had. Didn't matter whether it was by day or was by night. He serviced the Chassidim with tremendous mitzvahs nefesh, despite the fact that he was very weak. And it wasn't infrequent that, because of the intensity of his tzir and his limud, he would faint because of his weakness, and it would take time to revive him, to bring him back to his senses. Every night at Chatzais, he had a shir kavu which he gave to Chassidim. So like we're starting now and we're going to go to sleep soon. So he started at Chatzais Laila. That was the first shir of the day, by midnight. And many would come. Many would come. And he would walk to the Beis Medrash following his shamish, and he had two candles that he would light, whatever Indian that was, to show the way to how to get there. And he says that his face was on fire on his way to the Beis Medrash every single night, out of aim and yir b'pacha, to begin his day. And then he would have a seder el nimud b'iyon, and he would give shiurim throughout the night. And towards the end of the night, he would learn b'yachidus, but he never closed his door, and he wouldn't mind at all if ever a chassid would come in to discuss an inyan with him. And he would learn, he wouldn't daven by the early time, he would learn way into the morning, and his davening was about an hour long. He would have a small seuda, he would be Makabal Chassidim, who would come to see him, and then he would continue learning until Mincha, and then Tamayriv, then he would have a small seuda at night, if it was very, very small, and then he would take a little bit of rest, and then begin his Seder Hayom again at Chatzais Laila. It's a very cute story. I'll just share two more stories. So when the first time that the the Ishbitzer came to the Rav Bunim from Shischa, so he didn't get in right away. Nobody knew who he was. And he waited some time, not, I don't mean a few hours, a few days. And there was a certain chassid, a big Baal Madrega, seemed to be very well known in that circle, Rav Yitzchak from Lubitsch, who wasn't just a Talmud of Rav Simcha Bunim, he was a Talmud of the Rebbe of Rav Simcha Bunim, who was the Yid HaKadosh. And he told the Ishbitzer, he says, I have an etzah for you. So I know a lot of Kabbalah. I'm going to give you a certain yichud. Go to the kever of the Yid HaKadosh and be mechavin a certain yichud and tell the Yid HaKadosh that you don't want to wait anymore. I'm tired of waiting all this long. You don't know when you're going to get in. You had enough of this. So he listened. He went to the kever of the Yid HaKadosh with mechavin a certain yichudin. So Yid HaKadosh appeared to the Rav Simcha Bunim from Shisra. And he said to him, he says, I left you as a manhig after my patira. Is it the way of a manhig that a chassidim come to see him and they have to wait days to see the Rebbe? Is that what you learned from me? So Simcha Bunim was very startled by that. And he sent for the Ishbitzer, and he was makar from very much. But he said to him, who told you such an eitzah? Who told you to do that? So he said, oh, it was Rav Simcha, Rav Yitzchak over there. He told me, give me the yichudim, and I went and I did it. So Rav Simcha Bunim called in this Rav Yitzchak, and he said, come, let's make a l'chaim, they put out some yayin, and had a little l'chaim together. And he said that Rav Yitzchak started to drink, and he was mamash shikr. He became like crazy, crazy shikr. And he understood that the Rebbe Badavka made him shikr like this. And he was upset about it. And he remained the shikr for a very long time, and he couldn't shake the shikras, meaning that Rav Simcha Bunim had it in for him because of what he did. He didn't feel that it was right that he should go trouble. He said to him, you went ahead and you troubled the Rebbe to come and tell me this? This is what you wake up a tzaddik from his sleep to in his grave so he should come and bother him with things like this? So what did he do? He left Rav Simcha Bunim and he went to Rav Moshele from Kuznetzer. He was the son of the Maggid from Kuznetz. And he told him everything which happened. So he said to the Rav Moshele, he said to him, if you can give me a refuah from this machala now that he has, that he's in a state of drunkenness all the time, I'll become a chassid if you believe in nefesh. I'm yours. So he said, okay, fine. So he davened for him and he had a refuah. And all of his madrigas came back and time went on and he was a chassid now from Kuznets and he was sitting with the Kuznets and chassidim. And they started to tell stories about this Rebbe and that Rebbe. So he started to tell stories about his old Rebbe, Rav Simcha Bunim. Wasn't such a good idea because in Kuznets there was a lot of opposition to Rav Simcha Bunim. He wasn't a very popular tzaddik at the time. And they were very upset with the maises that he was saying about Rav Simcha Bunim. So afterwards, the chassidim told Rav Moshe LeKuznetzer all the stories that this Rav Yitzchak is saying about his old Rebbe. So Moshe LeKuznetzer said to him, he said, I see you're not such a faithful chassid after all. Not so faithful to me after all. So what did he do? He said, I regret having Davin feel like that. So he took it away, and he went back to being a shikr again. That's the end of the story. Actually, that's not the end of the story. He was a shikr kol yomav ad p'tirasai. That's the end of the story. So then he died, yeah. That's the end of the story. Just one little vart that Rav Tzadok HaChaim Lublin says in the name of the Ishbitzer, although many things said in his name, but this pertains to Motzei Shabbos. He says, I shamati from the Ishbitzer, may Rav HaKadosh, b'shem Rav Yitzchak Posner, that a Motzei Shabbos, a Yid goes from Igra Rama, from a very high place, to Bira Mikta, to a low pit. And that's what we say on Motzei Shabbos, Hinei Kel Yishu, Asi Eftach V'lai Efchad. He says that, Hashem, you are my salvation. I have bitachin in you, and I will not be afraid. And we don't say to somebody, don't be afraid, unless he's talk afraid. Because a person, when he leaves Shabbos, and he goes into the week, needs to be mechazik himself, which is why we say vihinayam, which is a shmir for the week. That a Jew needs to know that he's leaving Shabbos, and Shabbos is going away, and Hashem Yisbarach is with him, and in the schos of Shabbos, they shall have your shoes. Another tzaddik who's yahrzeit this coming week is Rav Nosson from Breslov. And there's you know, like everything in Breslov, we know, you know, day to day what they ate for breakfast and where they davened, and you don't need to tell stories about Mefor Samois. So many, many accounts of the life of Rabbi Nachman and as well as Rabbi Nassan. But originally he was a Talmud of Levi Yitzchak from Raditcha, from Rav Shlomo Shachta from Fabitz. And then he came to Rabbi Nachman, he was Davik and Baleva Nefesh, and the rest is history. But he suffered tremendous, tremendous hisnagdus. Now he writes about himself, actually. There's a quote here. He says, that in Shnas, Tavkov Samach Beis in Chodesh Elul, I was Neskarev to my Rebbe, to Rabbi Nachman, after searching. And he was Ochaz Biyadi Vikirveni Barachim Homerubim. He brought me close with tremendous Rachmanas, and he carried me like a mother carries her children. And after the very first Rosh Hashanah that I was Neskarev to him, which was in Tavkov Samach Gimel, which is the next year, he was already bringing me into my malacha of writing down his Torahs. And the very first Torah which I wrote for him was the Shabbos after, was the week after Shabbos Chanukah, which is not much what we're holding right now. That's why I wrote the very first Torah from him, which is the Torah which is called Re'isi Menorah Zahav in the Kutim Aran. And he says that the way it worked was that I would write the Torah and then I would read it over to him line by line. And he would say to me, no, he would say a line to me, and then I would write it over. He would say it in Lashon Ashkenaz, and I would write it over in Lashon HaKodesh. And this is how we recorded these Torahs. And he says like this, V'oitzen ribri ha-meniyas v'yisroem shahayot li b'yis ha-shana. The amount of meniyas, of challenges and obstacles and yisur and suffering which I had in that year, that I was miskarev to him in Tavkuf Samach Gimel, E after the Shire. Can't explain it. It's too much. Ki kulam hayibis nagad olai. Everybody was against me. Hein ishti, my wife, hein avi, v'chol b'nei beisai, chol b'nei beizikni, everybody. Everybody was against him. We know he suffered tremendously, even physically. He was degraded, he was attacked, assaulted physically. This is just the beginning though. V'yish b'zeh har b'lesapim yasem yibim haminiyah shahayili. I could talk a lot about it. B'li shiur. B'chol nesiyu nesiyu, every travel which I took. B'chol uvda v'uvda. Every action which I made. He said, I accompanied him everywhere which he went. And I don't know. The adayin eini yodea. I still don't know. Mehechen kibalti koyach, where I received the strength to be oimed against all the maniyas, ke'ilu asher kasha l'sevim, which are really unbearable. Speaking about the Kutzker, so we said that the Kutzker, he secluded himself for 20 years and nobody was really allowed in, and especially when he traveled, he was once in the city of Lemberg, he went there for some refuas. He suffered from something related to the lung disease, and he was very weak, and nobody was allowed into the Kutzker's room except for the Chiddush HaRim. And Rabbi Nassan was also in Lemberg for certain inyan, and he had big yagun to meet the Kutzker, but he had heard that nobody was allowed in. So he came to the door, tried to get in, and like in Breslov way, he tried to go over all the manias that he couldn't get into the Kutzker. And he said the following thing. He sent a message with the Chiddush HaRim saying, tell the Kutzker that a Talmud of Rabbi Nachman is here. So he went in. He went in and he told him that. And he said, he sent back a message. Tell him he can come in. Tell him he can come in. Because the Kutzker had a tremendous love for the Sefer Likutei Maran. And he said, he held up the Sefer Likutei Maran and he said, when it comes to Inyanim and Kedusha, Shmiras HaBris, I'm not embarrassed. I can hold my own against anybody in the world. Yeah, I'm the biggest Kaddish in the world, he said. Rak bifnei bal Likutei Maran. Only this tzaddik, Likutei Maran, am I embarrassed? And do I feel like I'm second when it comes to the Inyanim of Kedusha? He said that, in fact, once, the Chassidi from Poland said that they began to read to the Kutzker portions of Sipuri Maisis, which are the stories of Rabbi Nachman, and tears started to stream from the eyes of the Kutzker because of the depth and the Kedusha of the Sefer and of the stories. And he brought in Rabbi Nassan, and they schmoozed for hours. And afterwards, this was obviously very unusual, they asked the Kotzker, they said, you know, what are you lending this person in? You're not concerned about your health? And he said, this year, this Rabbi Nassan, he's an Eli in Chassidus, and he says he has such a great mayach, yet he dresses himself in such pashut of a godim. He didn't go around like a rabbi. He didn't want to be rabbi. He didn't want to have anything to do with that. But he said, it's such a great mind, and such a pashut begadim. He says, this person is an Eli in Chassidus, and he was very taken by Rabbi Nassim. And just one more story. It says that once Rabbi Nassim was traveling, and he was traveling with a Yid by the name of Moshe Breslover, who grew up in the house of Rabbi Nassim. It was very close to him. They were once traveling on Erev Rosh Chodesh, and they were going to Uman to daven by the kever of Rabbi Nachman. And he took this Rav Meishel along with him. And they hired a coach. And the way that Rabbi Nassim traveled in a coach was that it was completely covered, meaning that it wasn't an open coach. It was surrounded on all sides so that nobody could see in. That way he can wear talis and tefillin whenever, as long as he wanted to, and daven, and be able to be very loud, and do whatever he needed to do without compromising his privacy. So he was in the middle of davening, and he got up to Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David, and he came to the pasuk of Zarmu Lashem Chasidav, to sing to Hashem his Chasidim. And when he got to that point, he became very broken, very unusual. The way of davening by Rabbi Nassim was always very much besimcha and open and very with koli kolos. And he became very quiet and seemed very troubled. And this Rav Moishele was a little concerned, didn't know what to make of it. And after having a silence, he started to cry, Rabbi Nassim. The mo was slish, and it was streaming down his face. And then he started to sing the niggun of Eish HaSchayil. Eish HaSchayil. With a great dveikus, without any diburim, just the niggun. And he says that there was such a pachad in this coach that Rav Moishele says that he couldn't sit there anymore. He said his body was shaking from the experience, all of his limbs. And this went on for 20 minutes that he was singing this niggun. And then after that, Rabbi Nassim, he started to clap his hands, you know, in Breslov that they do very often, like in a way which it was mamish by Kir Rikim, he said it was so loud. And then he started to scream, Zarmu Lashem Chasida V'hoidu L'Zeicha Kotcha. He started to scream the pasuk, and he was like a new person. B'simcha Gedoyla. And then he davened the rest of davening like usual, but with an added intensity in simcha. So Rabbi Nassim was taking off his tefillin shal Rashi, and he started to put on his tefillin the Rabbi Natam, and he turned to Moshe, and he says, you're probably wondering what's going on. So he started to say to him like this. He says, Ahubi Talmidi, this is my beloved Talmud. He says, in the beginning of davening, I started to think to myself, where am I going to? I'm going to the kever of the Rebbe, of Rabbi Nachman. And then I remember what I had heard from him in my lifetime, in his lifetime, that he said to me, whenever I would come to him, he would say, Nassim, Yesh lecha iza hischachas b'avoidascha, midvareinu shedibarnu mikvar. Do you have any hischachas in your avoida, something new? You feel a hischachas in your avoida? And he says, I thought to myself this question, and I'm on my way to Rabbi Nachman, and I'm thinking to myself, what is chachas do I have? Do I feel any newness in my avodas Hashem? And I says, I started to feel faint, that how can I go to the Rebbe? I know he's going to ask me this kasha when I get there. I wasn't alive. I know he's going to ask me this kasha when I get there. So I was broken inside myself, and I started to dive into the Eibishter with a broken heart, and I felt embarrassed. How can I go to the Tzion when I know I'm going to have this inyan, and I don't have it? And I felt like I had no chias left in me. And I had no way to be machayim myself, to give myself my life back. And then I remember what the Rebbe himself told me also. He says that when you find a moment where you don't have any chias left, you can give yourself your life back by singing a niggun. So then I started to think to myself, what niggun should I sing? Then I said, I remembered the inyan of the chias which I had at the time when I heard for the first time this niggun of Eish HaSchayil by the Rebbe. And that brought tremendous simcha, and I started to be mechayim myself back with this niggun. till I had my chiyus back. And then I remembered where I was holding and davening, and it was up to Zamru Lashem Chasidav, sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu his Chasidim. And I thought to myself, Baruch Hashem, that I'm one of the Chasidim of Rabbi Nachman. And I'm going to his Tzion and Erev Chodesh. And I thought to myself, how much I have to be grateful for the Ribbono Shel Olam, for having the schus to be a Talmud of such a Rebbe. Zamru Lashem Chasidav, v'hoidu l'zeicher kotshe. And I have to give thanks to Hashem for the schus which I have. He says, when Ramosha would tell over the story, he says that his tears would fall from his face when he recalled the entire experience. And he says, I never knew, although I knew that Rabbi Nassim was so great, I never knew what it meant to daven, what it means to be an Oved Hashem, until I saw like this whole thing transpiring about the tzaddik and the nefila, and then he was caught in the moment, how he had to be Machaya himself and to bring back the life and the simcha and his davening. We know Rabbi Nassim spoke all the time about his aliyahs and yeridas, aliyahs and yeridas, one of the big themes in Breslov Chassidus B'chalaf. To witness that avoda take place, to catch the tzaddik in that moment, just to think of it, he would cry when he would recall such a story.